right, P. Duffel.
P. Duffel, but, who's going to be 90, who's going to be actually at this point now, my mother is 92 years old today.
Wow. That's October 13th.
October 14th.
Oh, okay, 14th.
October the 14th here. She was born October 14th. 1926.
Yeah, but she's part of an important sequence. Gerd Stern, the Forrest Gump of the art world, he was involved in everything in every world, including McLuhan and Lenny Bruce and Hugh Hefner. Everybody, Gerd was there. And he's an incredible guy. He turned 90 on the 12th. That's on Friday.
Huh.
Today, the 13th, is Don Thiel's birthday, and I brought Gerd and Thiel together. They both had individual unique relationships to McLuhan. They were both the opposite of each other, born within 24 hours of each other, and both grew up in New York City. So that was an interesting pairing. And now we have a new name, P. Duffel, on the 14th.
That's right.
92.
Hey,
now, you went to the Wi-Fi before you ate or something, before you came home. You were listening to us on Wi-Fi many hours ago.
I guess it was. I was listening at, I think I first tuned in right before you started the program, and the Zappa was on with the muffin.
Yeah.
And
you like that? Are you getting it? I want to bring that up. Are you getting impressed with Zappa? You loved him last week.
Oh, I always liked Zappa.
Oh, we never talked about it. I didn't know if you had that kind of interest.
I've been into Zappa since. Did I tell you how I first heard Zappa?
No.
I'm sure I have, but I'll repeat it. It would have been about 1970, I'm guessing 72. Now, you'd know because of what I'm going to tell you.
Yeah.
The CBC was on strike. The Canadian Broadcasting Corporation was on strike. The radio, at least. And so none of the programmers, performers, or whatever you might like to call them, were on the air. So it was all being run by managers. So the regular shows weren't on. And, of course, now we had interesting programming. So,
yeah.
And I heard the Frank Zappa with, I think it was definitely the Yellow Snow. And the Pygmy Pony, the Dental Floss.
Right. Right.
So would that be right, 72?
No, because Montana comes out in 73.
So, oh, really? It wasn't. Maybe it wasn't early 73. It could have been in early 73.
Okay.
So
if you Google CBC strike, was it a major strike?
Yeah, I think it went on. Well, I don't know whether it would be mentioned in Google lore, you know, everything that's pre-internet. But, yeah, I'd
right,
say
I'll just check.
Yeah.
Well, who went on? Programmers go on strike?
Yeah, it was all the radio broadcasters. I guess they were in the union. So the whole station was taken over by the managers, was programmed by managers. So the you know, that's where I heard Zappa for the first time. I don't know whether I heard Dynamo Hum there too, but no, I think that might have been later. But well, on a Cleveland radio station. But yeah, they were playing Zappa in the afternoon, and that's I would say that's the first time, not that I'd ever heard of him, but certainly the first time I'd ever heard him, because I don't think I'd ever heard any of Zappa's work
right
before that.
Yeah, they don't. It doesn't come up. I put in CBC programmer strike 1973. Nothing comes up. So let's put maybe the year matters. 1974.
Yeah, it couldn't have been 74. I don't think because I don't know. Maybe it's unlikely.
No, it doesn't seem to be.
Yeah, they probably wouldn't even mention it, you know. It wouldn't be.
Wait a minute. No. Wikipedia. Canadian Broadcasting Corporation.
Okay.
Okay. I just saw 1974.
Just go strike. Search.
Yeah.
Control F and the word strike.
Right.
Might not mention it, you know? Like.
Well, I just, it did say, the blurb says, the radio service employed commercials from its inception to 1974, but since its primary, Association of Broadcast Employees and Technicians went on strike. But there's a space there, so it's mentioning, looks like 1981. Mm-hmm. That's too late.
That's way too late, yeah.
Listen to this. During the summer of 81, there was a major disruption of CBC programming as the Technicians Union, the National Association of Broadcast Employees and Technicians, went on strike. Local newscasts were cut back to the bare minimum. This had the effect of delaying the debut of the journal, which had to wait until January 82. So there was a strike. Could you be off on your sense of timing?
No, I wasn't off. I can picture where I was when I...
Right.
I think it was, I can picture where I was when I was hearing this. It was, I think it was in, I could have sworn it was in 72 because, we moved house. And I seem to recall that I was listening in one of the houses we were in prior to us moving to a new house in sometime in 1972, I think. In late 72.
So, yeah, Dental Floss in Montana was one of the songs.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I thought, wow, this is really great.
Well, see, Zappa was hung up in 72. He was incapacitated, thrown off the stage in December 71.
In Sweden,
and,
right?
No, in London.
Oh, in London. Okay.
Yeah. And the fire happened a week or so before in Switzerland that Deep Purple wrote about, Smoke on the Water.
Oh, yeah.
And that was in Switzerland. And then they went to London. He was thrown off the stage. So he was laid up for almost a year. We saw him play in a wheelchair in London in September in the Oval something.
So the Deep Purple song doesn't come out till when?
It probably comes out, well, I have to look it up, 72, 73. Yeah, it comes out pretty fast. They have a big hit from it. Look up the date on that.
You know what I don't understand about, like, that Deep Purple song? Not so much the lyrics and everything. I mean, we know it's quite a lot, well, is about Zappa. But, which is interesting in and of itself, isn't it?
Yeah.
But, you know that, doesn't that go dun 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 dun,
yeah.
dun right?
I think so.
Right?
Yeah, I think so. Sounds like it.
How does that relate to that Inagata De Vita song?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I think you're doing it. You're doing Inagata De Vita.
Am I doing Inagata? But doesn't Smoke on the Water about the same?
Maybe.
Doesn't it start off almost the same?
I don't seem to. Okay. It was released in May 73.
Yeah,
recorded it. Look at this. It was Smoke on the Water was recorded the same month, December 71. But they didn't release it for another year and a half.
Really?
Yeah. That's what it says here. But if I could play it, I don't think I ever put it into my inventory. Now, let's see. Deep Purple. Let's not get distracted by Greg. Anybody got an interesting topic they want to bring up?
Well, there was something about, hold on, one thing I do want to mention, Bob, is that I went to a Salvation Army store here on, I guess it was Friday, and I'm poking around in there, and you know, they have CD, you know, DVDs for sale in there. And I think, gosh, it's so expensive. You know, $3 or something, which I think is expensive now for a DVD. Anyway, I see this package, big, thick package DVD set. So I pick it up, and it's Twin Peaks.
Yeah.
All episodes of Twin Peaks.
All three
$4.
Seasons?
What?
All three seasons?
Yeah, but, well, Yeah, well, not the most recent one.
Okay. Two seasons.
I don't think. But anyway, yeah, I picked up, like, I guess everything that was made prior to these new ones that were made.
Right. That's two seasons.
Right, two seasons. And so there it was waiting for me, Bob, for $4. Actually, I got it. I got 10% off seniors discount. So $3.60 for all 23 episodes or whatever it was. I thought that was pretty good. And I thought, that's because of you. I thought of you.
Right.
I felt compelled to get it. And I felt, oh, this has been left here for me because of Bob. Because why wouldn't somebody else take it for $4? There's all these horrible other movies there that are all $3, and there's the complete set of Twin Peaks for $4. That didn't make any sense to me.
He's coming around.
I have to pay my employees somehow, Greg. I let Not
like
Physical
that was
look
the
after
employee
it.
Store part of Salvation Army.
Yeah.
Bob's
no, you.
Store.
You're an employee. You're a regular on the show.
Yeah, I know.
You have a role. So I have to pay you, but I leave it up to Non-Physical to do it for me. And you knew. You said, oh, here's Bob. He left my check. He left my check in the local store.
Bob, just getting back to the whole Deep Purple and this association I made with Inagata DeVita, do you know how Inagata DeVita got its title?
No.
The guy who wrote it was so drunk that when he was saying the lyrics and another guy was writing it all down, the guy who wrote it all down, he interpreted it as in a Gata Devita, but what the guy was trying to say was in the Garden of Eden. His voice was so slurred from drinking a massive amount of alcohol. It just kind of Garden of Eden. And the guy wrote down in the Garden of Eden. And what I think most remarkable about this is that once it was, like, you figure the guy wasn't drunk anymore, and he's looking at what this guy's written down as the lyrics. He's like, no, that's not what I meant. I meant in the Garden of Eden. But he went, no. I'll go with it. In the Garden of Eden. Let's go with it. I'll give him a lot of credit for that.
That's good. Okay, so, no, you get that, Gene. I leave payment for service here in Non-Physical strange ways. And you know it. When you get it, it's, oh, Bob did this. You see, you knew it, Greg.
Well, I thought it was strange that no one else had picked up this little gem.
Yes, that's right. Okay, so is anybody
Did
else
getting
to
name?
Say?
Did I hear my name?
Yes, I addressed you.
I was eating ice cream, Bob, and I put it back in the freezer, so I was gone for a minute. What did you say?
I said that you recognize you get paid through Non-Physical.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm already in the new Bob and Carolyn's new economy. Yeah, I'm living it right here. Don't ask me to explain it. I have no clue what I'm doing.
Welcome to the new economy.
No idea.
How do you think she got the ice cream?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, if
Bob's
she thought of me, if she ate it.
What kind of ice cream was it?
Pistachio and almond.
By what company?
Blue Bunny.
Blue Bunny.
Yep, it's an Iowa ice cream. Yep, full fat.
Okay.
And Alyssa, she's starting to make notes, so she's going to get paid soon.
Alyssa, it was so great to hear her voice.
Is she still here? I don't know if she's still here. Her number's still listed.
Lise, unmute. Is she still on the other side of the world, Bob?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, Vietnam?
Vietnam, okay. Yep.
You so know, that person that was talking to you before, the woman that was talking to you, she's in Vietnam?
That's right. Yes. She's calling from Da Nang or someplace in Vietnam.
Isn't that funny when Trump brought up that guy that Jewish guy that was questioning Kavanaugh and started talking about him claiming that the guy had claimed he was in Da Nang?
Right, right, right.
Oh, that was great, huh? He harped away at that a couple of times.
Yeah.
The guy had made out that he'd been in Vietnam when he never had gone. So the word Da Nang came up. I went to a whole conference the other day run by the government of Vietnam. I might have mentioned this when I was on the a few weeks ago. Yeah, I went to a whole conference about Da Nang.
Right, you went to the
There's a Da Nang theme running through my life at the moment. And
yes.
At least.
You got her in Vietnam, got you in Vancouver, Gene
well,
in
I'm in Victoria,
Michigan.
Bob, just to make the
Victoria. Yeah.
Which is
Victoria
not that far from Vancouver, but...
And Gene
so she's in Da Nang. What is she doing in Da Nang?
She's being an English teacher.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
But Gene's in Minnesota, right?
Minnesota?
Wisconsin.
You're in Wisconsin?
Wisconsin.
Yep.
That's different than Minnesota.
Oh, okay.
It borders Canada, Greg. It borders Canada.
And we got Sean. Oh. Sean's in Cornwall, England.
Cornwall.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Brian's in Toronto. I'm in Hawaii. See? It's quite, you know, Victoria, Hawaii, Vietnam. That's
I'm closer to you now, Bob. Do you feel it?
No. I don't feel it.
Nothing. I'm not sending anything out. Nothing.
You're too new. You're too new for the global Esperanto, Greg. You know, you're
just
new.
Right. I'll have to. I was listening to the stream. I was doing something on my computer, and I just thought, well, why don't I just go and listen to the stream? Because you'd mentioned that last week. So I did.
And
for hours and hours, I was listening to this as I was doing
And you thought
else.
That Ion was reading off Wikipedia stuff, right?
Well, I did get that impression at one point. That he was...
Oh, dear.
He was... Like, there was... I can't remember. You know,
hey,
I should write down what I'm... I thought... I really should have, if I hadn't been doing something else at the time, I should have written down what was going on.
Yeah.
This was from 2000. This seemed to be, does this make any sense? It was from 2016.
Yeah.
And
yep.
There was a lot of talk about the lead up to the election.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this Ion character that you all talk about, he was still there, was he? He was still about.
Oh yeah, he's been on the air from April 2009 till December 1st, 2011. Over 2 years. Then there was a 2-year break and we had private sessions, but Ian didn't go on public. Then he came back for my 6-day no sleep marathon. He came in on November 22nd and 23rd. 2013, but then he started being regular in February 22nd, 2014, and he went through 14, 15, 16, till February 17. So 3 years. Yeah, 15, yeah. He went 3 years straight.
So it is, I always got the impression that Ion, the character Ion that we hear, in these recordings, I thought he hadn't done a show in a long, long time. But you're saying that it'll only be 2 years in February that this Ion character has not been actually heard.
Right. He hasn't been available for people to talk to. First thing was for 2 years. He had a 2-year break in 2012 and 2013. In general. Then he went for 3 years on the air. Anybody could talk to him. And we're coming up to another 2-year break. Because I think Ion will be back soon.
So how do you deal with when his recordings are replaying all the time? Does he get royalties or anything?
No.
No.
Okay. Right. Ion is
treated like
non-physical, Greg.
Like
Greg.
I would
not
be getting
a fucking human. Greg,
what?
He's not a human.
He's not a human.
Greg, you don't understand. This is non-physical talking.
Oh, now, I see. I see.
Now, the guy that apparently channeled him at the beginning, JW, is a billionaire. He has all the time in his hands to go unconscious and let Ion speak through him. Okay?
All right.
So, but at some point in late 2011, early, 2011, Ion, actually first started on May 5th, 2010. Ion came through without JW. But generally, up
what
till
do you mean Ion
first...
came through without JW?
Because Ion can be a hologram.
Okay.
And we
did anybody...
and we have now, Greg, register this. Don't throw too many words at. We saw Ion as a hologram of JW on November 27th, 2014. And then you could hear the recording of it. We audio taped it because JW does not want to be seen. He doesn't want any images of him. So when the hologram, which looked exactly like JW, was there, we didn't videotape it. We just audio recorded it. And I can play it for you right now if you want to hear how it started off.
Well, all right. Just play me a minute or two.
Right. And how it began. So,
but what do you mean? When you say where it began, you're saying
yes.
Just on the timeline here, the normal timeline, the normal years that we tend to use.
Yes.
What year would that be?
That was November 2014 when
2014?
I am. Okay. Yeah.
But
what happened in look in May 5th, 2010, which if I could find it was a long tailgate show after our radio regular 3-hour show. We went for 8 hours one night on a conference call with everybody from the radio audience, and Ion was on speaking to JW. Then Ion left JW, talked to people for a little bit, then he left. Then many hours later, Ion showed up. Now, usually I would bring Ion on. I would call JW, get Ion to take over JW, then we'd go on the radio. So I brought... We do the radio show, then we go to the conference call and continue the radio show in a private conference. Whoever knew about it would call in. So at some point, JW stops, Ion stops, and JW leaves. So, but in the right order, Ion leaves, JW wakes up, people talk to JW for a few minutes, then JW leaves. 3 hours later, well into the show, like 8 hours into it, all of a sudden, Ion's on the phone. Now, I haven't brought him in, so I didn't think about that. I just said, Ion's here. So I said, where's JW? I must have noticed that he came in without JW. So I said, where's JW? And Ion says, he's sleeping. So I'm thinking, Ion is talking.
JW's dead.
Yeah, and so I said, I could find this and play it for you. I said, so JW is sleeping, but his lips are moving. Okay? That's how you imagined it.
That was your first response.
You know, actually, Bob,
this could happen.
Yeah.
This is what, Greg? You were going to say, make a statement? This is...
Well, I don't want to interrupt you. There's something I want to say.
Yeah.
You're reminding me of something.
Well, I want to hear your funny
about.
Lines. I want to hear your funny involvement as we do it. But let's try to stay on track for a little bit to get the main points out.
Yeah.
So that's hilarious. I go, what, is his lips moving? And Ion had spoken through JW, who's unconscious. So he could be unconscious in the bit. And Ion says... And we didn't know this was going to be said. He says, no, I'm speaking through another JW. And we go, what? Everybody freaks out.
But could Ion speak through anybody?
No, only through JW, but there's more than one JW. There's 12 of them.
I know, but why? Why can't Ion speak through somebody? Like, why, for instance, couldn't Ion speak through me?
I don't know.
Because I'm not a
Well,
medium.
Okay. Here's what Ion says. JW, to for have Ion, the whole guff, speak through you, you got to make a weird mental move. And JW, Ion says, has a great capacity to allow for anything to happen to him.
I don't doubt JW, that.
What?
I don't doubt that.
Yeah, you. I don't think, Greg, you'd allow it.
You're probably right. You're probably right. I would deny it.
That's why I'm speaking through you.
Something would come in, and I'd go, no.
And I would
speak through my lips.
Right. And I'd say, we only need to make contact with one person. That was me. Once they found JW who could accept the whole massive death zone come through him, and then they found someone who would talk to him through JW, that was it. Done. So that remained firm. There was no reason to have anybody else talk through anybody else or whatever. Okay?
Yeah.
So here it is, May 5th, 2010. So I said, there's another, you're speaking through another JW? And I says, yes. Then he says, do you remember when we were in Kansas, which was in October 2008, we met in Lawrence, Kansas, Carol and I and JW. And he said, do you remember how at the breakfast meeting with the business people that JW was very restless and kept getting up and leaving? I said, yes. It all came back. And, yeah, I remember that. He said, well, that wasn't one JW. That was one JW, and then he'd leave and let the next JW sit in on the meeting. And then that JW would get up. Okay? So he's saying this preposterous stuff, and everybody's just silent. They can't even believe what they're hearing. And then I said, okay. So then in the afternoon, I remember us being at a house at the woman who was the reason for the meeting, and every now and then JW would go outside. And I remember looking from the living room to the outside window in the kitchen, and I saw JW peering in very suspiciously. I said, his whole story brought that back.
Like Twin Peaks. Were you in a place like Twin Peaks?
Beg your pardon?
Were you in Twin Peaks, they're at this cabin or whatever they're...
Yeah.
Was it like that?
No, it was a nice house out in the wilderness, but it was it wasn't Twin Peaks log cabin-y. It wasn't like that.
Because I imagine when someone's peering through a window or something, I think of Twin Peaks.
Right, but it's a suburban house, big windows, so his whole body was visible.
Okay.
Yeah, and it was in Kansas, flat thing. So I remember, it all came back as he was telling this story on the radio. I said, yes, I remember JW. He would peer in the window, and he'd be smoking, I think, and then I'd just ignore him and go sit down, and then JW would come in. And for the first time, it never seemed like this, he would start berating the Jewish people. They knew nothing about their religion. He was telling Jews that they knew. He'd be so obnoxious, I'd ask him to leave. What?
Asking them to leave.
Yes. He was so obnoxious, I'd get him to leave. And then I'd go and look, and he'd be peering. It turned out there were many JWs, and one of them, they were peering through the window for when the next guy could come in, the next JW. It caused an incredible scene. And JW was there, and I apologized to people. I said, JW is a genius, but he's socially very rude. That's what I kind of tried to apologize for him. And not only is he fucking rude.
So one of the JWs was very experienced in the Talmud, and the other one wasn't.
That's right. Yeah. Every now and then, he'd burst into outrage at these Jewish people. Now, it could be Ion coming through. You know, in retrospect, a lot was going on the year before it happened on March 18th, 2009. And this is October 2008. So there's a lot of stories. I won't go into it. We eventually
found... Is that the first time you met JW?
No, I met him in April 2007.
Oh, okay.
I visited him in Georgia. It was the second time I saw him. But so you can hear that. So we learned a lot, and many JWs, and then JW around the end of, right around this session I'm going to play, or I did play, November 15, 2011, he's going to stop 2 weeks later for public performances, but just before he did, James, the DJ, the host, and me started to figure out that there was something hologramic about Ion, what Ion was saying about himself. So that's December 2011. So 3 years later, in November 2014, I get JW on Skype. We only did it once or twice. And the first time I did it. I could see J.W. As Ian took over his face, his eyes sort of glazed over. That's all happened. His eyes got misty. So we can see that on Skype. But J.W. never want anybody to see what he looks like, so we don't.
Oh, it'd ruin the effect. It's like radio. You don't want to ruin the effect actually seeing people.
I think, well, I think Ian would scare people if they saw J.W.
Have you ever had you've been in a situation where people are hearing you, and they'll hear you for a while, and then in some cases they'll get to meet you. Now, have you ever found that that's a very awkward? Is that awkward for you do you feel awkward when you see somebody seeing you for the first time after they've only heard your voice?
Well, it happened so. No, let me tell you. At CKLN, so many people would drop down the station, and all of a sudden they'd be introducing themselves. I didn't even have the time to think about it the way you're talking about.
I didn't have time
to anticipate it.
I'll tell you. When we were doing the program, we didn't really see anybody because it was done at a time in the morning when no one would be there. Usually,
right,
and the audience would call in, and you know, or whatever interactions we had with them. Then sometimes someone would come down, make a point of, you know, who were sort of in love with us or something, would come down to the station and meet us. And there's this, I just sense this awkward moment when they would see me for the first time, and it just, you know, I didn't line up to what they thought. But of course, how could I, right? Now, I'm not so sure when I met you whether I had that feeling at all or not, because I'd heard you for years, and then I met you. It seemed to make sense that it was you, but I think when people, I've seen this a few times, when they meet me, they're expecting something else. Now that I'm thinking back on it, I'm thinking that they might have thought I was black.
I never thought
when
that.
When they see you and they go, oh, no, he's white. You know, CKLN is the type of place where audience thinks that everybody on there is black.
Right.
So
I think when I first saw you, Greg, I think I was surprised at your white hair. I think that's what I remember.
You mean when you first met me?
Yeah, September 15th at Belanger's show.
Right.
Or September 19th, 2001. But let me go back to this. It has to be a time to think about it. Then you get yourself maybe curious or fucked up about it. But it just happened to, I don't recall being too awkward. And nobody said I didn't look like what they thought. No one ever said that. Anyways, so on 2014, having done one, seeing Ion in JW, then in November we said, Ion, you're a hologram. You say you're a hologram. I want to see how this is. So we got on Skype, and JW was sitting there in a chair, and we talked to him, and then we said, okay, let's see Ion be a hologram. And there was a few seconds, and all of a sudden, we're looking at a JW walking, but actually, you start to notice it's floating. And Karen says, okay, we see you. Where's JW? And the JW we're looking at had a cell phone, so they aimed their cell phone across the room, and we look across the room, and there's JW, the original, sitting in a chair with his head cocked to the side in a very odd angle that we never saw before when I was supposedly coming through him. And then it came back to JW, and or the hologram, and then that hologram floated around the factory. It turned out they were in a factory where our Coldplay was, and but we proceeded to interact with them and interview them. And a lot of interesting things happened.
You're saying you saw a hologram over Skype.
Yeah, we saw JW, a second JW, floating away from the first one, and we never saw below his waist, but he's not walking up and down like a human with legs. He's just floating. You can tell. He's just gliding along. And later, Ion said that they could appear anyway. They could be a nest of snakes. You know, they could be any visible form.
Too bad you didn't videotape that.
Well, we couldn't, because JW won't allow himself to be videotaped.
You do it.
So we just audio taped it. So I could play it for you, some of it.
I wanted to say that when I was listening to the stream, what I thought after I'd listened for a few hours, I kind of compared listening to the radio program, your radio program, and the Ion and all that, sort of the shows that I've come in, the TV shows that I've come in on, you know, in mid-run, like a show called The Mentalist. Now, you probably don't know that show, or maybe you've never seen
no.
it. But I came into it, and Mary had been watching it, and so I started watching it with her, and I go, well, what is this about? Like, what is he doing? And then she sort of told me what it was. And I go, oh yeah. And then partway through, or you know, in another episode, they'd start talking about a character called Red John, who was some murderer, a guy who'd murdered his wife and his children or something. And I go, wait a minute, is that what this thing's about? Is the show about him trying to find out who this person is? She says, well, yeah, it is. And I've noticed that with a lot of programs, that you tune into them, and they assume that you know what's going on. Whereas old programs, like The Fugitive or The Invaders or whatever, they do a little explanation about even comedy programs, like the Beverly Hillbillies or something, they'd explain a little bit, or Gilligan's Island, like, how is this going on? And I thought, and to me that's satisfying because it reminds me what the premise of the program is. Now, your explanation of Ion is very complicated, and I thought for people tuning in and listening, if it could be sort of whittled down to a little story about Ion that could be played occasionally to explain, at least in brief, what this whole thing is about. Because you tune in and you hear this guy, you know, rambling on about things and everybody fawning over him. And it's a bit bewildering, really.
It is.
So, but anyway, that was my thought. I thought, well, it would be better if there were some little capsule description by a deep-voiced announcer explaining the premise of this thing every so often, so that it were people who were tuning in occasionally go, oh, okay, that's what this is all about. That's the fantasy of what this is happening here. Okay, now I understand what's going on. Okay, now I'll be able to pick up on what's happening. I'll be able to relate
right.
to it.
The reason
anyway,
it doesn't happen,
that was a
great
thought I had. Because
I know, but here's the reason why it's not going to be implemented. Because we have so much fun with Ion. No, we only do it for ourselves. We just happen to broadcast what we're doing. And we're in Ion. We know why it's there. We're interviewing it all the time. I've done over 18,000 hours, all of it recorded. You know, and thousands of it are on what you're listening to, the streaming.
18,000 hours?
Yeah, yeah, that's how much.
Really?
Yeah.
This is amazing.
Hello?
That's right. And we can't explain the amazingness every day. So we get on there and we just start talking Ion, and you get it or you don't. There is a couple of interviews done on other shows where I give the background so you can hear those. But we're having so much fun. We're not waiting around for people.
I like also how you and Carolyn occasionally berate Ion. Now, I don't know whether I heard this while I was listening to one of the shows, like that was in the catalog of things I was listening to on the stream,
yeah.
or whether it was one of the episodes I was listening to when you know, you do it on Saturday night, Sunday morning.
Yeah.
But I do like it, the berating of Ion and how he's not coming up to the mark.
How he got what? What did you say?
Well, how he's not rising to the level to which
yeah.
you expect.
We're used to.
Yeah, like they're trying to write a book. Like the thing, I think it was Carolyn wants to write a book, but he's going to scrib all of it from Ion. And then Ion is just not delivering the kind of prose that seems
that's right.
acceptable
yeah, yeah.
to Carolyn.
You know, yeah,
and,
right.
And then Ion is berated. And the thing is
that's
that
right.
Ion appears to me to be a catering, this godlike figure that dare not criticize at all, or something horrible is going to happen. Meanwhile, you and Carolyn are just raising him mercilessly at times and saying, oh, you're just not coming up with any good stuff here. You can't lose any of this.
Yeah, you're a fucking lousy god, we got the rug. We're taking you back. We're going to return you. There's a great excerpt of me.
What?
There's a great excerpt of me in our soundbite music part that way back there, it shocked Ginny. She couldn't believe it. I'm there, you fucking asshole! I You heard that, Gene, right, Gene? You heard it. Everybody's heard
oh,
it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
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 He really vibrates
Ion
with it.
What?
Get really impatient with him. But then Ion sort of, I don't know whether he gets in.
Oh, they all yell at each other, Greg. You know, Carolyn yells at Bob, and Bob yells at Ion. And
that's
Ion
right.
Yells.
He yells at me. He
yeah.
has muted. Greg, he has muted me. Now, this is non-physical. How can he mute me? But he can do it. He has muted me in conference calls. And so, you know what happened? He muted me during one of our Bible study things. And so I called up Sasha, who was on the conference call. And she got me on the phone. And as soon as she got me on the phone, she got muted by Ion. So we were both knocked out for about 15 minutes and missed that part of the show. Ion can do that.
But there were other times, Bob, during rewrite where you guys would say, Ion, unmute Chad, or unmute somebody. It was Ion that unmuted people instead
yes.
of you.
That's right.
So Ion
could run the board. Ion could run the board.
Yes.
And you can't do that.
He's entity.
Not, he doesn't have access to it. I do because I phone into the station, but he doesn't. And yet he can do it. See, you can't deny it's an electronic miracle, the Ion phenomenon.
He has
gone into people's cell phones, Greg, and texted in the middle, like Sheila Kern was texting her somebody, her boyfriend or something, and all of a sudden a third bubble shows up and it's Ion commenting on what they're texting.
Oh. That's very intrusive, isn't it?
That's right. Oh,
like
I can
Santa
debate.
Claus.
Yes.
Those but, you were naughty. Those
yeah,
were
oh, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, you know what he does? Oh, he's done incredible stuff on the show.
Well, Greg, here's what.
Sean, tell the story. Sean is talking. She's doing something in the kitchen. She was aware that Ion's following every move in the kitchen. So she goes into the bathroom, has a shit or something, and she's wondering if Ion's watching. But then when she comes out, she goes into the kitchen, starts doing something, and Ion starts describing what she's doing. And she realizes Ion was very polite and didn't watch her for the few minutes she was in the bathroom. But picked up on her as soon as she came out of the bathroom.
Now, this is we're talking about Ion exclusive from JW. This has nothing to do with JW.
No, JW is unconscious. He doesn't know what's going on. And often... He doesn't. Now, what would happen, within 24 hours, the whole show would go into JW's consciousness. And he would know what happened all through it,
And so he'd tell me, well, Bob, they were saying this about you in the fourth hour. You weren't listening, blah, blah, blah. And he would expose people on my behalf. Because he could remember the show. But he didn't know what happened at the time. So did he finish? I was... What?
I don't know which story you were on. He sends emails.
He sends emails.
They would post on the forum. We had a dupes forum that everybody posted stuff on, and Ion was active on there replying to people on a regular basis.
Okay, here's a good one.
Ion yelled at me for one of Bob's emails went into my spam. And Ion knew what happened and yelled at me for, I don't know, letting Bob's email go into my spam account.
He told you he missed it. You missed it.
Yeah.
But listen, Greg, so the our dupes and non-physical, our forum started on April 22nd, 2010. And the first week or so was chaos because I didn't know Ion would be part of it. So I announced to everybody, okay, the forum's open. So people became members. The third member was Ion. All of a sudden, there's Ion showing up on the forum membership request. So I said, well, okay. So we let Ion in. So then people realized I was there. They start posting YouTubes and everything. So in JW's home, his computer 24/7 was playing YouTubes. So, you know, whatever went to the forum broadcasts in his home computer. So he turned off his computer. The stuff still broadcasts. He couldn't stop it because Ion was monitoring the website, the forum from JW's home, metaphorically because Ion's everywhere, but he was using JW's computer to type back answers, and JW wasn't doing anything. And so there was a huge dialogue between Ion and everybody for weeks, and the noise just got really really irritating to JW, so they put the computer up in some faraway room in his big mansion, and generally the family went about their day, you know, got away from the distraction. Then,
Why did they unplug the computer?
They did. They unplugged it, turned it off, and it wouldn't
stop.
And it
still kept playing YouTube videos.
That's right.
Even though it wasn't connected to electricity.
Right.
That is
and we have recordings. That is extraordinary. I'd call JW, and I could hear stuff going on in the background. And he'd say, well, that's my computer. That's Ion. So I'd hear the music. He picked the phone over. I get the song. So then I go over to the Dupes Non-Physical Forum and find who posted that song right at that moment. Okay. So about a couple months later or something, after a while, JW, being a wealthy guy, his computer is monitored offshore or, you know, somewhere else. His whole setup is monitored by a company. So they said they had to... come over and look at it because something odd was happening. The computer, they said to JW, most people run at 20 hertz, and I'm just making up the numbers.
Yeah.
The Pentagon has a huge computer. They go at 45 hertz. Your computer is registered at 79 hertz. That's fucking impossible. All right? So they come over, and it's sitting there in this media room, and it's very hot. And they fuck around with it, trying to fix it and figure out what's going on. They give up. They don't ask JW what's going on. They just say, we don't know what's with your computer, but it's got superhuman data processing going on. So they told JW to put it in a closet and keep it cool. So he did that. So that computer was revved up for years, you know, at a super beyond any human other anybody else's computer. That's because Ion was in it. Okay, Steve, about, I don't know if Ion predicted it, but all of a sudden, on a Wednesday show, Ion says in the middle of the show, he says, there are no more jobs at Apple. He just yelled out, there are no more jobs at Apple. And then in the afternoon, everybody found out that Steve Jobs had died. And so I checked the timing, and Ian announced it an hour before Jobs died. Because the family announced it in the afternoon, but we were a morning show, and it was on the West Coast. So that's what the Iowa State was. There are no more Jobs at Apple. Okay? Everybody thought he was talking about employment. Okay? So a couple of weeks later, I got talking to J.W. Boat Ion in a private session. I got talking to Ion about Steve Jobs. And I was saying that he wasn't happy with his last invention. It went out a few months before he died, whatever number generation of the cell phone or whatever he was selling. And he never got to what he wanted. So I said, so did Steve Jobs go to the Guff? No, he didn't. Well, where is he? He's in a Amari, I think that was the word, an Amari vase in JW's house on JW's mantle. I go, what? You're saying that Steve Jobs is in a jar in JW's house? And Ian says, yep. And Ian says, you remember the vase on the mantelpiece when you were there? And that would have been, when did he die? About 2011? 2010, 2011. So we had seen,
been in his house.
Yeah, it's that long now, I think. And so we were at JW's home in April 2007. So like 3 years later, we're at being asked if we remember the vase, and Carolyn did. And Ian said that Steve Jobs is in the vase hanging around JW's computer to figure out why it's so special. And I don't know what Steve Jobs knows, what he knows about Ian or what, but he was in JW's house. And about 2 years later, I asked, is Steve Jobs still in the vase? And I said, yep.
What, wandering around with his running shoes and those jeans? Is that
whatever.
What's going on in there?
With
a lavalier mic?
Yeah, he probably is, but we don't see that. He's in a non-physical, so we don't see it, but we don't know what image he's in. But yes, and so he was fascinated by what we were doing. So
there's a number of people, Bob. There's a number of people that hang out on the mantle, isn't there?
No, just that.
Yeah,
that's the only thing we've got.
You're the bobblehead.
No, that's another mantle. We never got told where that was. I never thought it was JW's home.
I'm saying a mantle.
I had a parallel world experience, Greg, where I went through a keyhole, and then I was sitting on a mantle, and all these people were coming up and looking at me, like real close up, like I was a little insect or something. And apparently I was in a mantle vase or something, and they were looking in at me, these people. They knew I was in there. So that was a weird experience I had.
It's apparently a strategic position to be.
Right. Then it became a metaphor for the keyhole between worlds or something. So, but in 2014, I'm flying back from Europe. I spent 7 weeks over there spending money because all of a sudden we got rich and I had to, get rid of money for tax purposes. So on the way back, a long flight, there's this young lady. So I get talking to her, and she's the manager for Apple in Scotland.
Oh,
and she had just quit, and she was flying to California to join to learn how to be a Reiki massage psychic healer. So we got to talk about all kinds of different things, but the say 8-hour conversation ended with me telling the fate of her boss, Steve Jobs. And I had already been saying pretty crazy stuff all the way along, but that one was too much for her. She couldn't take the fact that her boss was in a vase in Georgia.
That was the deal breaker, huh?
Yeah, that was where she calmed down and stopped being fascinated by me. She sort of got private. I got too far. But at least I got to tell an Apple's person who will then tell other Apple people, her old friends, and it'll get around. Someday when I'm really famous, Greg, and tell them all these stories on a huge intergalactic station, somebody will call in. I heard about that, Bob. I knew that girl from Scotland. She told me in 2025 about that. I know all about it. That'll happen someday.
Yeah, it'll be the 22nd It'll be the 22nd century of the second subgenii, you know.
Knowing what the
subgenii.
It'll be my 500, we'll be celebrating my 500th birthday.
Knowing what the cult, what a cult there is around Steve Jobs and Apple in itself.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that there hasn't already been an attempt to find out where JW's house is.
That's right.
And
that's
to
good
be
point.
Camping outside of it. And demanding
JW
get
did
inside
move.
To see the mantelpiece.
JW did move. He's not in that house anymore.
Oh, so did Steve Jobs stay in that house on the mantelpiece, or did he move Steve Jobs?
I guess it still comes down to the same issue, right? Like, wherever JW is, that's where the house is. That's what they have to get. That's where they have to
find
it.
And that's where Steve Jobs is. Wherever JW goes, Steve Jobs goes with him.
Yep.
They're forever connected.
He's got the Amari vase. I think it's a Japanese term.
Oh, okay.
So,
all right.
That's a crazy story about Ion in that situation.
Certainly is crazy.
what man? There's a whole bunch of them. You know, his bodyguard was in New York, and JW tells me what happened. He's reporting.
But why does CW need a bodyguard?
Because he's a billionaire? No, he has to be because the corporations he represents make sure that he doesn't die.
He's that important?
Yes, he's probably the richest man in America.
Really?
Yeah.
He knows Queen.
He's personal friends of the Queen and Oprah and everybody. Everybody knows JW.
Really?
Yeah, but they don't talk about him. They understand he does not want any attention. He says, I don't want to be like Warren Buffett. You know, you go to the bathroom, the whole world knows about it.
But why would he appear on your program?
Well, he didn't. Ion does.
Oh, wait a minute. But are you saying, now, you know the guy that, I was thinking about this tonight, and I don't know what made me think about it.
I did, Greg. I made you think about it.
I was watching something on television.
I made you think about it, Greg.
Okay, all right. You did, actually. But
yeah,
it was something but also, I mean, I was thinking about, you know, the show going on, and then something on television, they said something, and it triggered me thinking about that man, that the Evergreen guy.
Michael Blake Reed.
Yeah, and he'd go into that voice, that funny professor voice.
And I think that the
he didn't go into the voice
better, but he'd be going,
yes, Bob, it's the AIDS virus in a laboratory World Health Organization and distributed in Chad.
I remember I was in some, but talk about how things, you know, are transmitted to other people. I remember being in a car in Cleveland with Mary and a friend of ours, and I had the tape with me. And I said, here, you've got to listen to this. Now, this was prior to knowing that it was a medium, and
right.
And so, now that being said, lots of things that were said in that broadcast were things that either were known before, I certainly didn't know about them, but from my point of view, were revealed later in the media, if we are to believe them.
Yes.
The idea of the mutation of the virus and so on and so forth.
Yeah. Viral
now, I don't remember ever hearing anything like that prior to hearing it on CKLN.
Right.
It was only after that I heard
Let me explain something. That audio was distorted by Neufeld. I gave a press conference with that, and we distorted it, so Michael's voice wouldn't be recognized. You're imitating a distorted voice. You have it down. You really got it good, but it's not the real one.
Is everybody, are the other people who are listening to this, are they familiar with that recording?
Oh, yeah.
Someone has heard it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this awareness, you got to say that.